I'm David Barron, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. 10 years ago this month, President Bill Clinton announced a milestone in genetics. American scientists had created the first draft sequence of the human genome. They had learned the order of the 3 billion letters that make up our DNA code. But today, the medical revolution that many thought would follow has not arrived. In some ways, genetic discoveries have made things more complex for doctors and patients. In a moment, we'll talk about those issues with a genetic counselor in Brazil. But first, we go to Venezuela. That's where American scientists conducted a landmark genetic study 3 decades ago. And as the world's Marina Giovanelli discovered, the subjects of the study are still waiting to benefit from that research.
In northwest Venezuela, on the shores of Lake Maracaibo, men eke out a living as fishermen. Families of 8, 12, sometimes 15 live in tiny, bare houses. The people here are isolated and poor. So when American researchers came to the community 30 years ago, it was a big deal, says a woman named Inelda. She says the scientist came to collect biological samples.
Le sacaron la sangre. A ella los varones, le tomaban otra muestra a los varones.
They drew blood, she says, and from the men, they took a more intimate sample.
También se llevaban eso.
Semen. The researchers came here because it's home to the world's largest concentration of people with Huntington's disease. Huntington's is a hereditary brain disorder that causes muscles to jerk and spasm uncontrollably. It usually sets in around age 30 or 40. It's fatal, and there is no cure. When the researchers came, Inelda's husband was very sick with Huntington's, or what locals here simply call el mal, or the sickness.
Él murió con el mal, el esposo mío.
Inelda says he died with el mal. Now Inelda's adult daughter, Wilma, is sick with Huntington's. Wilma perches on a plastic chair in the dusty alley outside her mother's two-room cinder block home. Her rail-thin body flails wildly, and her face contorts as she tries to say hello. Huntington's is caused by a faulty gene that's passed from one generation to the next. The child of a parent with Huntington's has a 50-50 chance of inheriting the disease. Thanks to the research done here, American scientists found that gene in 1993. Scientists also developed a genetic test that can tell people from affected families if they inherited the gene and if they too will fall ill. The test can help people plan their lives. Should I have children? How should I spend the healthy years I have left? The test is widely available in the United States and Europe. But when I asked the families in Maracaibo about the genetic test, the response from a woman named Mariela was typical.
Prueba. Prueba de qué?
Test? Test for what?
Many people who participated in the original research have no idea the genetic test exists. And the few who do know about it don't have access to it. Ernesto Solis is a doctor and geneticist in Maracaibo. He calls the situation an injustice.
The people in Maracaibo have a right to access whatever technology exists.
The test is available in Venezuela's capital, Caracas, but that's some 400 miles away, and it can cost upwards of $1,000. Solis says that's out of reach for the families in Maracaibo.
In the U.S. or in Europe, whoever has the disease in their family has the option to decide, I want to get the test or I don't want to know. The people of Maracaibo don't have that option, even after they collaborated in the research.
Solis criticizes his own government for not providing the test. He says the government-run healthcare system should make the test available to these families. But since it doesn't, Solis argues the American researchers who developed the test should provide it. Ruth Macklin agrees. She's a professor of bioethics at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York. Macklin contends ethical guidelines clearly place that responsibility on the researchers.
The international guidelines that exist, one of which is the Declaration of Helsinki, and there are others, all mandate not only disclosure of information and results of research, but also that the products of results, in this case a diagnostic test, be made available to the population that has been the subject of study.
The American scientist who led the project in Maracaibo is a neuropsychologist at Columbia University in New York. Her name is Nancy Wexler. She says she does feel a tremendous responsibility towards the families and even a sense of kinship.
You know, my family also has Huntington's, and we're all part of the same family. We're all related to each other.
And she says she has done her best to give back. Wexler partnered with a Venezuelan doctor to establish a Huntington's disease clinic for the people in Maracaibo. Wexler has raised more than $6 million for their care.
We provide very expensive medicines for psychiatric problems. A lot of people have hallucinations, delusions, violent outbursts, antidepressants.
But one thing the clinic does not provide is the genetic test. Wexler says the people there don't really understand the concept of genetics.
How do we explain that there's a test we can do, that you can look at their blood, and you're going to tell with 100% accuracy, predict the future? You know, how do we do that?
And she fears the test could cause real harm, especially to those who are told they have the gene. In fact, she has asked people in Maracaibo how they would respond if she was able to say with certainty that they were going to get sick. One man, Wexler says, pointed to a tall bridge over the nearby lake.
And he said, "Do you see that bridge? If you tell me I'm going to get Huntington's and there's nothing you can do about it, I'm going to jump off that bridge and kill myself."
But not everyone responds negatively to the test. In fact, studies in developed countries find that people who choose to get tested generally adapt psychologically to whatever news they receive. And bioethicist Ruth Macklin says in Maracaibo, the decision to take the test should be left to each individual and not scientists from America.
It's unacceptably paternalistic for researchers to claim that this is bad news that we should not visit on people. I mean, that is really a form of intellectual colonialism, of saying that we know better what's good for those people and can't be any good for them. It's better not for them not to know there's a test and not to have a test.
Now, researcher Nancy Wexler stresses she is not blocking anyone from taking the test. But practically speaking, she doesn't see how the test would help the people in Maracaibo. One obvious benefit of the test would be for family planning. People who test positive for the gene might choose not to have children. But Wexler says in Maracaibo, people who already have the disease and know they can pass it on continue to have kids.
I think that whether they had access to the test, it would make absolutely no difference whether there are fewer babies born.
Nancy Wexler stresses the point of her research was not a test. It was and continues to be a cure. And she vows that if and when a cure is found, the people in Maracaibo will get it first and they'll get it free. Back in Maracaibo, Inelda, whose husband died of Huntington's, says she is grateful to Nancy Wexler. She says she would welcome the American scientists back to do more research, for instance, to test a possible treatment or cure. In the meantime, all she can do is care for her children. Today, there is not enough food to go around. Inelda makes sure her sick daughter Wilma gets a small plate of breakfast. For The World, I'm Marina Giovanelli, Maracaibo, Venezuela.
You can see photos from Maracaibo at theworld.org.